Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Late Night is on break this week, but please enjoy Seth's interview with Olivia Munn, who keeps the conversation going backstage at Studio AG. Then, a brand new edition of Late Night Chats. Now, let's get to the show.
Our guest tonight is a talented actress you know from such shows as The Newsroom and The Daily Show. She stars as a CIA operative in the second season of the Series 6, which premieres Monday, May 28th on History. Please welcome back to the show our friend Olivia Munn, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
I'm good. It's always so wonderful to see you. I'm very impressed by this because I just sent my mom flowers. You, for Mother's Day, really went above and beyond.
My mom has been really supportive of me and been really sweet, and she asked for a lot of things anyway, so I figure every now and then I have to go all out for her. And I did. I did a renovation of my mom's house.
That's amazing.
I know. My mom lives in this. You can...
Yeah. Give it up. Give it up for Olivia.
Yeah. My mom lives in a house that is like really sentimental to the family. Like my family is, I'm first generation American. My family came here from Vietnam the day the war ended. And so there's this house that they've had since back then. So my mom lives in it now. And I called her and I was like, I'm gonna do this renovation for your house. And the dining room, the kitchen and living room is all one room. So I said, I'm gonna give you this one big room and do all of it. So just think about some ideas of what you might want, and I'm gonna surprise you too. So the next time I talked to her, I said, so do you have any ideas? And she was like, yeah, you know, I think my greenhouse, it's, she's Chinese, by the way, that's why I'm talking like that. And I'm like, she's like, my greenhouse, it's broken. I need new greenhouse. Also, my guest bathroom, it looks too dirty. I want new guest bathroom too. And I was like, well, Mom, I'm doing the dining room, the kitchen, and the living room. She goes, oh, okay, how about in phase two, we do my greenhouse and my, I was like, phase two? I was like, what gift? Phase two is thank you.
Yeah.
The end.
That's the end
if
of it.
If I knew there was a phase two, I would have asked for so many more things growing up.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, who does that?
It's like, great job on these birthday presents. Very much looking forward to phase two tomorrow. Yeah.
No, it's like, it's so my mom. She's just always wants more. Always more. It's never enough. And the other thing that's really interesting is she loves cooking. We have a big family, and everybody comes over. And so that's part of the reason why I wanted to renovate and give her this amazing chef's kitchen. And right before installation, she calls me really worried. She goes, hey, we need to talk. I think we need to do electric stove, not gas. And I was like, Mom, but you know, as a chef, you want the gas stove. She goes, yeah, but Harold, who is her father-in-law, she goes, but Harold has oxygen tank and you can blow up if you have gas stove. I was like, but is Harold cooking with you?
Yeah.
She's like, no, but one day if I need oxygen tank, I don't want to blow up when I'm cooking. I was like, okay, Mom.
God, yeah, she's thinking like phase 50. She's like so many phases ahead of the game.
She's so invasive.
Yeah. You went to a, what was it, a past lives? I guess it wasn't.
You don't believe in this kind of stuff, do
no,
you?
No, I don't.
I know. Well, I do believe in in the power of mediums and psychics, but I also am a big skeptic. I think that there are a lot of con artists out there, and I think there are people who aren't that talented at it. But I do believe that I do believe in it. So I was in Hawaii, and I don't know what I think about past life, by the way. But a friend of mine was like, "You have to go to this past life regression person. It's amazing. I learned so much." I was like, "Well, what is it exactly? Well, you get hypnotized, you lie down, and then you're able to see your past lives, and you can understand things." And I'm more like, "I don't know about that." But he was really insistent, so I went, and I was in Hawaii, and this woman so nice and lovely, and I'm in her office, and I lie down, and she says, "Okay, so we're gonna, you know, put you into hypnosis, and I'm gonna count backwards from 10. And when I hit 1, you'll, you know, be in your hypnosis, and just keep your eyes closed and tell me what you see." And so we start, and she's like, "And 1, what do you see?" And I'm like, "Nothing. I see." It's just a vast darkness. I don't know. And she's like, "Okay. Do you know who you are?" And I was like, "I'm still me." And she's like, "Okay. Well, let's try something else. Like, look down at your feet. Can you see your feet?" And I look down, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, "Yeah." And I go, "Yes." And she goes, "What do they look like?" I'm like, "Well, they're brown, and they're kind of chubby feet." And she goes, "Okay, is it a man or a woman's foot?" And I'm like, "A man." She goes, "Are they your feet?" I'm like, "Yes." She's like, "Okay, you're a man." And that's, she's, "And where are you?" I'm like, "I'm in Hawaii." She goes, "Oh, you've come back home. Here you are. Yes. She's like, "And where are you?" I'm like, I'm at the top of this waterfall, and I can see the lagoon in the bottom." She's like, "Oh, that's so fast." She's like, "Okay, what else do you see?" And I'm like, "And there's a little girl, and she wants to go in the water, but she's not allowed to go in the water, and I don't want to go in the water." She's like, "Oh, some past life trauma with the water." She's like, "What else do you see?" And I'm like, but I'm the person that can help her." And I'm realizing, wait, I'm just describing Moana. Like, I was trying so hard to make her feel like she was doing a good job. But by the way, I wasn't Moana, I was Maui. Yeah. I was the big guy. I was like, and then she was like, "Oh, this is amazing." I woke up and I was like, that was amazing. Yeah.
They say like 90% of past lives are Disney movies.
Right? Aren't fixed. Because everybody, when you're in a past life, you come back like, "I was a princess, I was a queen, I was a king." You're never like, "I worked at T-Mobile."
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's probably my past life.
We have, our dogs are friends. They've met.
My dog tries to be friends with Seth's dog.
Yeah, but my dog's past life, she was a human.
Yeah.
And so she's like, "This sucks. I do not want to hang out with dogs."
This is my, I love Frisbee. Frisbee is such a sweet dog. But this is my impression of Frisbee.
That's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate.
Pretty much. Come on, guys. Thank you.
If my 2-year-old son has a catchphrase, it's this: "No biting, Frisbee."
That Frisbee lives in her own. She's like, she likes it. She's like an 85-year-old, like, you know, little lady. She's like, "I like things my way. I want to watch my shows. I want to."
No,
do my
she's
thing.
Like an 85-year-old woman who like has a giant fortune and thinks that everybody needs to take care of her because she'll write us out of her will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is. And
your
we do.
Your dog got paparazzi'd.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain it?
I do want to explain this because he's had a hard time with this.
Okay.
So Chance, my dog, he's a rescue, and he likes to be scratched by his leg. So when he wants that, he picks up his leg, and it looks like he's going to pee on you, but he's not. He just wants to be scratched. Yeah. We were at the airport, and paparazzi were there, and TMZ put out this picture, and they said that Chance is peeing on the greeter. Can you
show? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to just say, I hate defending TMZ, but it is what it looks like. I mean,
look,
come on, Olivia.
I know. Can you guys see?
Can you see? Yeah. They can all see. He's doing a real subtle thing, but...
I know. But when I saw that, like, I would never... I don't go on to, like, you know, defend or be like, "That's stupid. That's not true about me." But when it came to my dog, I felt so defensive. And I was like, "It's not true. He just wanted to be scratched." And thankfully, TMZ did do a correction.
Oh, they did. They corrected it.
Yeah, they corrected it. But, you know, this has been really tough for Chance. I mean, he deactivated his comments on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. That's what you have to do.
I just, you know, like I said, this is what it's like to be famous.
Yeah.
You know what? It's part of the game, and you just got to accept it. And, you know, he's getting used to social media again.
Yeah. I think he'll get back in. So you're show six, you CIA operative.
Yes.
Did you do training? Is it one of those parts where you had
yeah,
to...
Yeah, well, you know, this is, six is, it's based on, you know, real life events and real people who are, like, the SEAL Team 6 members are the guys who go in and kill Osama bin Laden. Like, those are, like, the top of the top. And a lot of people don't know, but the women in the CIA, they are some of the most effective, most persuasive interrogators and some of the best shooters. And so... I had to do a lot of training, and we worked with one of the producers is a SEAL Team 6 member, so there's an intense training.
That's great.
Yeah, and I grew up in a military family, so I grew up with gun safety, which I think is so important, and it was really interesting to learn how to do it from the guys who, you know, are at the top.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to watch, and it's always so great to see you. Thanks
I know,
for coming back, Olivia.
I love you.
Olivia Munn, everybody, 6 victories, May 28th on History.
Hi, this is Kevin from Late Night. We are backstage with Olivia Munn. Hi, Olivia.
Hello,
thanks
how are you,
Kevin?
Thanks
for taking a couple more questions.
Of course.
So you were a journalism major in college?
I was. Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
were a sideline reporter for a while.
So when I went to college, I always wanted to be an actress, yeah. but my mother was like, you can't make money as an actress. And so she wanted me to just do something that she, you know, was able to understand. So uh-huh. I said, what about journalism? And she's like, well, what do you do with that? And I pointed to the people on the news, and it's like that. And she's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
So I majored in journalism, but while I was there, I realized that every girl was going for the news. And if I wanted any like internships or the job at the local paper or anything to get some experience, I'd have to do something that none of the girls were kind of going for, and that was the sports section. So I went and applied at the school newspaper for the sports reporter job. And I remember the editor, he was like, he was another student, and he's like, why, do you love sports? I said, no. Do you know who we're playing next week? I said, no. Uh-huh. And he was like, so why do you want to do it? I'm like, well, I mean, it's just telling a story, right? Like, and I'm like, and I've watched a couple of games. I'm like, you know, in the halftime, they always say the same thing, like, you know, how are you going to turn it around? Or, you know, yeah. did you think that, you know, were you really disappointed in your defense? Or, you know, you've been playing a lot better than you thought you would. Just, you know, like, they say that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And they're like, he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just reporting. So it's like, okay, so I got that job. And then I just happened to be at the University of Oklahoma the year that Bob Stoops came in. And that year we had 2 back-to-back championships. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, ESPN and College Game Day, they all came to like almost every game, and so I was able to meet more and more people. Mm-hmm. And being one of the only females in that area, I kind of stuck out like a little bit of a sore thumb. And
yeah.
People started, you know, offering me like, you know, hey, you should go talk to this guy, or you talk to, you know, this news station here. And then
yeah.
one thing led to another, and I was out in LA at Fox Sports, mm-hmm. Doing college women's basketball courtside. Taking the job at Fox Sports was just a ploy to get me to Los Angeles.
Yeah, gotcha. You were a correspondent on The Daily Show.
Was.
Do you miss that job?
When I got The Daily Show, that was such an epic moment for me. And like, it's especially in comedy, I think with Jon Stewart at the helm, like that's to me like the top of the top. And when you're doing The Daily Show, everything's scripted and it's on the fly, and like, you know, and I learned so much. And the Daily Show was the big thing that helped launch me into my career, I think. I mean, Attack of the Show means everything to me. I miss that show every day.
Yeah.
But that opportunity, Attack of the Show gave me the opportunity to be seen by John. Then he put me onto The Daily Show.
Awesome. And then
yeah.
Six.
Six. I'm
for.
Super excited about Six.
Yeah.
I'm really, I did one season of the show, and it's, you know, SEAL Team 6, they are the guys who are like the above the Navy SEALs. You know, they are like the top of the top. And I played this woman who is one of the CIA's best operatives. And she's based on these real women in the CIA. And a lot of people don't realize, and I didn't know this, that the women are some of the most efficient you know, interrogators and most precise snipers.
Yeah.
And they're out in the field, which people don't, I think, realize. And so I love this. It gets dark. The show is dark.
Yeah.
It's the second season of it. Walter Goggins was in the first season. I came on for the second, and I'm really proud of it.
Great.
Well,
Olivia, thank
this
you.
Has been fun.
This has been fun.
We should do it. We should go around the country, you and me. Just
that's,
do this.
That's a great idea. Olivia and Kevin.
Done.
There
Kevin
it is.
And Olivia.
Yeah.
I'm
oh,
okay with
thank
that.
You.
KO knockout.
Knockout. There it is.
There it is.
Boom.
The KO show.
Perfect.
All right, well,
I will see you on the road.
I'll see you on the road. I'll see
okay.
you in the parking lot
yeah.
next. All right. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sheila Watko, and I am a photo researcher.
Hi, I'm Melanie Warr, and I'm also a photo researcher.
And I'm Emily Arotis, and I'm the associate producer of A Closer Look.
And this is Late Night Chats with Sheila, Melanie, and Emily.
Sheila and Melanie, do you guys want to share what you do?
Yeah, sure. So Sheila, she typically handles the run for the most part. So the run, The Closer Look, we get that script usually just about every day. And I mean, you can, I don't want to speak for you, so you can
well,
definitely.
You are, so.
I
know.
Usually right when I get in, I start on Closer Look. And that's typically the only thing I work on usually, or the check-in. We have the check-in sometimes on Tuesdays. So I work on the Closer Look and the, A Closer Look and the check-in. So our job's weird to explain to people because basically we find photos.
We're like the middle man, the middle woman.
Yes.
Between.
I appreciate that.
Sheila and Melanie are the middle woman between the writers and the graphic designers, the editors, and we try to make the vision of what the writers want.
Yeah, like they will get a script and it'll say what they want. I always use an example of Joe Biden in a pillow fort because that one just sticks out my mind. Or Chris Christie feeding Donald Trump's grapes in the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And then obviously that is not a thing. Mm-hmm. So we find bits and pieces and we give them to the graphic designers and they turn it into art, but they don't find the pictures. So we are just sitting at our desk all day. Mm-hmm. Well, not all day. We sit at our desk the first half of the day pulling photos.
And then the second half of the day, I typically go downstairs around 2:30. That's when the monologue jokes come in and I, for the most part, concentrate on those. And we get the list of monologue jokes and there's sometimes just headshots of Trump and Melania. And then other days there's 15, you know, mock-ups with a whole bunch of different picture elements required that we kind of have to all turn around by 4:15 because we have a rehearsal every day at 4:15. And yeah, it's very interesting.
It gets really tense, not tense, but exciting down there as it gets closer
intense.
To rehearsal. Yeah, intense.
For sure.
Yeah.
Emily, what's your...
Well, what I tell people is that I watch cable news all day. That's like my short way of like putting it. I work in clip research and I work with Sal, who is the writing supervisor of A Closer Look. And I help him find clips. And, you know, I also look for clips on my own and we put those in the run. And it's a lot. A lot of MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, the whole lot. So when I go home from work, if I do watch TV, it's usually something to...
You don't go home and watch the news?
Oh, yeah.
Going off of that, because this job can be, I mean, the hours are kind of long.
Yeah.
We have a better schedule than a lot of people, so I don't like to complain, but the hours can be long. But besides that, it is actually, I find it kind of emotionally draining sometimes.
Yes.
Because we are just watching the news all day. We're reading different headlines. We're gathering quotes.
There's like, especially like with this administration, it seems like there's breaking news. So we tape at 6:30, but the breaking news is typically like New York Times or Washington Post will release something just in time for primetime news. So like around like 5 p.m. And then there's a crazy hustle to pull clips, pull stills. And, you know, so basically a script that we've been working on all day can get thrown out. I mean, not the whole thing, but like parts of it. And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges of the job is to, you know, you're working knowing that there's a good chance the majority of it will get possibility that it could get cut at any moment. And the fact that, you know, just having to have to plow ahead and like work on it regardless and in a timely fashion and still deliver it. Because for me, I try not to concentrate. I'm just like, just get it to rehearsal and just get it to showtime. And then because if you think about all the work that you've done, that then you can't go on.
You really couldn't.
Yeah. And I think people don't realize, because sometimes I'll try to explain our job to people and they say, oh, it sounds easy, because they think it's just Google image or go to YouTube and pull any clip. But we have approved sites and stuff. There's a whole process. So it's harder than it sounds, and it actually does take the whole day. People are like, oh, what do you do the rest of the day?
No.
I wanted to go back really quick to our jobs being weird, because it was funny. Literally right before we came in here, I was on the phone with one of our graphic designers. We're doing like this random mock-up for, we have a really funny segment called Bad Sponsors. And so my desk personally, Melanie's desk, just to be clear, I'm like the first desk. You walk into our office, you see the receptionist, and then you see my desk. So it's very visible. And I think I'm going to have the worst posture when I'm older because I am constantly hovered over my laptop to make sure nobody can see what I'm looking at.
Oh, I still see it.
I'm like, everybody thinks that I'm such a weirdo. No. Just recently, we had to do a mock-up where it was a man breastfeeding, but I needed to get elements from a woman breastfeeding. So I had to look at a lot of graphic images that should not be safe for work. But here I am looking at them. Yeah. I swear it's for work. And I'm on the phone with somebody to do a mock-up before. And I'm like whispering, I'm like, yeah, well, do you think this butt will work? Do you think if we could just... do you think we could position the butt to look this way? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just so funny to take a step back and say, like, wow, this is our job.
That like reminds me, one time I was on the phone with Tony, our editor, and I was like telling him a transcript over the phone, and I didn't even think of like what I was saying. I was just reading him the quote, and one of our writers, Scollins, was like walking by, and he just heard me say the quote, which was, "General Flynn is a wonderful man," which is like.
I feel like our job really is so weird. So often I find myself, because Mel and I sit probably 6 feet from each other, but we just iMessage all day and send each other pictures we need. And I remember specifically one time Bryan Cranston was coming on.
Yes.
You remember this? So he was coming on and we needed pictures. They were showing photos of him. Apparently he's on the toilet a lot. So in his movie with James Franco, he's on the toilet. They were looking for him on the toilet. Oh, I guess on Breaking Bad or something. And then Malcolm in the Middle. They were looking for a specific shot and we could not find it, but I found a different one and I sent it to Mel and I was kind of panicked. I was like, oh my god, this isn't it, but do you think they'll use it? And dead serious, she said, yeah, I think they'll just appreciate anything of him on the toilet.
What a that weird was another job. Moment we were like, oh my gosh, these are the things that make us happy.
This is us. This and is... my favorite thing, Melanie, do you remember your my favorite thing that you ever said about our job?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure.
So Melanie one time told me she was watching a different show and saw a great headshot of Trump. And she said,
that is such a great headshot. Where do we get that Trump headshot? Like, we become so numb to the content that we're looking at that we're like, to find a straightforward, neutral headshot of people,
a diamond in the rough.
I just go, it literally makes my heart. I'm just really excited. I get so excited.
You're so right about like becoming kind of like desensitized to it. Like you don't actually like listen to like what's being said because things are moving so fast. And yeah, the simple things that you appreciate and get excited about.
If I can look up a picture of Melania Trump, like her outfits are just great. So I appreciate it because it's something nice to look at in a day. She's great dresses. Or if you get, sometimes they'll be like, we need a picture of a cute kitten instead of some crazy thing. Yes. I would love to look up some cute kittens.
Yeah.
Animal it's great. Picture of Obama, always nice, a nice smile. Kite surfing Obama is a great one.
There was a mono clip one time where they needed a clip of puppies playing in a field and like jumping over each other and just like, and I remember we spent like way too long trying to find a clip of it just because we don't want to move on to our next thing. We're like, I don't know, this puppy's not giving us the right attitude.
Any good excuse to look at puppies?
Yeah, can we like pay the writers to like need those clips or need those stills?
How did you guys both get into late night originally?
I had an internship, a late show with David Letterman, and that was something that I didn't realize it was like a dream come true until like I was actually there and it felt like I was home. And then after the internship ended, I just like spent all my years like trying to get back into late night television.
Melanie, how about you?
I actually interned at Late Night with Seth Meyers. I was a part of the inaugural intern group. So I was here when the show started. So it's very interesting to see like how it's changed. Obviously being an intern, and I was a control room intern, so I was pretty removed from the office life. But yeah, that was my in here. And then I'm happy to be back.
And we're happy you're here.
We'll keep you.
What about you, Sheila? I guess my first job out of college was random because I worked in Disney World. But I studied TV and radio. And my second job, I had applied to like 80 jobs. Guys, that is no joke, the job hunt. I think I applied to something like 80 jobs. And finally, I got a call also at David Letterman, but I was a page. So I made like $11 an hour ripping tickets 3 days a week for a few hours. But it was the best job. I made so many friends. And then I worked in radio full time, and I just wanted to get back to late night so bad. Yeah. And then I got a job at the Meredith Vieira Show, which was at NBC, and then bumped into our friend Sahar, and it was serendipitous. I was working on the Meredith Vieira Show, and it had just gotten canceled. And I, one of our coworkers, Sahar, I had worked with her at Letterman, and I saw her in the hallway the day we got canceled. And she had an opening, so I sent my resume, and it was just pure luck. And then shortly after...
And then a few months after that, May 20... Wow, is that 2016? Yes, yeah. May 2016, I joined the crew, and I was also working on the Meredith Vieira Show, which Sheila had mentioned was canceled. So this was a great thing to jump into right after that.
Yeah, and I think we kind of really bonded together as, like, the first kind of wave of the new kids and stuff. And yeah.
And it helps because we're kind of, I mean, Melanie and I are kind of our own department, and you have your own department, but the clip and photos all work together.
Oh, yeah.
So you helped me a ton in the beginning because I was panicked at first. And you wrote me a whole guide on how to do everything with my logins. Yeah. And I was like, this girl's an angel.
I got that too. Yeah. I still have it saved on my desktop.
Me too. I still reference it. It lives on 2.5 years later.
I just was like, yeah, I was like, I need to train them. Like, I was so grateful to like have company and stuff. And yeah, and it's changed a lot since that time. And now it's a well-oiled machine.
It depends on the day.
What I love about working in late night television is it's really the people are the best. Mm-hmm. It's like because it's a combination of traits of you just have a lot of really, I mean, obviously funny, but smart, charming, just goofy people. And like because they're such long hours or you go through stressful events, like we had live shows during the election for like the RNC, the DNC, all the debates, that you really feel like you're in the trenches with everyone and you develop these strong bonds, and the people are the best. And I'm obviously the best.
The number one. Yeah, okay.
Emily, such a little ham.
And everyone works so hard too, which I think is actually very hard to find because we have to put out a show every day.
Yeah.
So you're rushing to find these clips. Yeah, Mel and I are sweating, finding our photos. The graphic designers are working as fast as they can. Mm-hmm. And everyone else on staff too, but you guys and the graphic designers are the ones I work with the most.
Right.
You see. But it's a nice thing to see that everyone's trying to work towards a common goal. And it has to go out today, so we have to do it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see everybody like happy to do their job. I feel like everybody has a pretty good attitude and it's like, let's do this.
And I feel like we're all, I don't know, I don't want to speak for everyone. This is so cheesy, but I'm so proud to work on the show. Yeah. I feel like it is a really good program and I think it's doing good work. So if sometimes I'm feeling tired or something, I'm like, well, I work in late night. This is always my dream. I can't complain. Yeah. And we're doing good. People watch this as a source of news.
Yeah. I'm very proud to be a part of the show and to be a part of Seth's team vision and stuff.
Team Seth.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to give my parents back in the Midwest something to talk about. It's a beautiful life with you two.
It really is, because I've had some terrible coworkers in the past, and I've had people who I did not want to see every day, and I've gone through very sad periods, but honestly coming to work every day I don't mind it. And that's mostly because of truly the two of you. And that's not being cheesy. I mean, it is cheesy, but I am cheesy.
As the three of us all sit here in white V-neck t-shirts.
Well, this was so much fun. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, I've wanted to do this podcast since I first heard about it. And I've been jealous because everyone else gets asked. But I was like, no one cares about photo researchers.
It's our moment.
But this is our moment to shine with both of you. So much fun. Yeah.
So much fun.
This was a great time. And this has been Late Night Chats with Sheila, Melanie, and Emily.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.